Because of presence of dangerous teachers in the church, we must fight for the faith. Then we have studied the characteristics to identify them. They deny the association with Jesus Christ. They deny our only master, our Lord Jesus Christ. They are ungodly people. They are marked out for the judgment by God long ago. We have studied that. The church may doubt. One of you say that God judges the false teachers. Is it true? God is so loving. He is gracious. Can he judge false teachers? Jude is going to explain to us. God has judged already. He gave examples. Verse 5 to 7. Let's open your Bible. Jude chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Open your Bible, verse chapter 1, Jude, verse 5 to 7. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Verse 6. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in crass immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. We know that the theme of this passage is clear: the past judgment of the Lord on apostates. Verse 5, he says, the Lord after saving. Verse 5, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, he destroyed those who did not believe. He says, verse 6, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, we read, they are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. See, this sermon is warning false teachers. At the same time, this sermon warning the church. God is going to judge. Here Jude is reminding them. You should remember. He said, no, I desire to remind. He is reminding the church. When we are going by bike, by car, we see that B-side road, signals, traffic signals, accident zone. Why they put that one? Because that place, so many accidents has happened. To remember those things, the policeman put that traffic, that sign. Here Jude also, he is giving sign. He is reminding us, God is going to judge false teachers. God is going to judge those who are following false teachers. He already judged. Three historical judgments of the Lord that the church must remember. Three historical judgments of the Lord that the church must remember. First historical judgment of the Lord that church must remember is, he destroyed unbelievers. He destroyed unbelievers. Look at verse 5 says, verse 5, the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently he destroyed those who did not believe. Who did not believe. This is a great warning to all of us, brothers and sisters, because they are covenant people, the nation of Israel, but he judged them because of they did not believe in him. Meaning of the word destroy is to put out of the way entirely, put an end to kill, you can say. Do you remember Matthew chapter 12, verse 13? Herod is trying to kill child. The same word used here. That means God destroyed, God killed false teachers, unbelievers, those who did not believe in him. He clearly explaining that. Two attributes of the judge that help us to believe in him. First attribute of the judge that help us to believe in him is, he is the sovereign. Why he can destroy? Because he is sovereign. He is the Lord. He can destroy. Verse 5, we can see that word, the Lord. Then his judgment, by seeing his judgment, we can understand he is the one who saves the sinners. He is the one who destroys his enemies, those who are not having faith in him. Jude here thinks of the pre-existence of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, as the one who delivered the people of Egypt. The word law, it is not talking about God the Father, it is talking about Jesus Christ. They point to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. It says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. The rock was Christ. We identify him as Yahweh. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is the one who delivered. He is the one who destroyed people. You know, Exodus chapter 3 verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses. Then verse 4 says, when Yahweh saw that, Moses turned aside to look. God called to him, Moses, Moses. See, by reading carefully reading the text, we can understand Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is God. We can clearly understand. If he is God, then he is the sovereign God who can have authority to judge sinners, unbelievers. If he is sovereign, he can destroy those who do not submit to him, because his authority is more important. Every created being should obey him, must submit to him because of his sovereignty. He is sovereign Lord. The second attribute of the judge that help us to believe in him is, he is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, the Lord saved people out of the land of Egypt miraculously. The plagues he brought on Egypt through Moses were evident of his power, his lordship. We know that the rod became serpent, the water is turned to blood, and he has sent frogs over the land. The flakes of flies, Egyptians' cattle died, the flakes of boils, and flakes of hail, flakes of locusts, darkness over the land. He killed the firstborn of Egyptians. We remember all these things. God miraculously brought them out of Egypt. Delivered them out of Egypt means he separated. He separated Israel from that land. Exodus chapter 12 verse 51 says, and on that day, same day, the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land Egypt by their host. He brought them from bondage. He delivered them from their bondage, from their slavery. The Lord delivered them from Egypt. That is, he delivered them from their slavery. Exodus chapter 3 verse 7 says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Verse 9 says, now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. They were oppressed people. They have suffering. They have slavery. God, Jesus, delivered them. For what? To the promised land. Because he must bring them to the promised land. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8, he says, so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. That is the goal. God delivered them. But he destroyed. He destroyed them. He killed them because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 16 to 19. It says, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Those bodies fell in the wilderness. Verse 18 says, to the whom he swore that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient. See, God sentenced that entire generation of Israel to wander in desert. He killed them because of their unbelief. Different aspects of their belief we can see in the scripture. If we see the Numbers chapter 14 verse 12 to verse 2 to 3, we can read that all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Because they heard they are going to die because of enemies, strong enemies. They did not believe that Yahweh lead them to the promised land. They doubted. Later they said, you know, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. We don't want Moses. We don't want Aaron. We select one leader, then we go back to the Egypt. Because they did not believe in Jesus, in God. They came to Marah. They could not drink water of Marah, for they were bitter. So they grumbled at Moses. There is no water. Why did you bring? We are going to die. Then they grumbled for food. We don't have chicken biryani. We don't have any mutton, special things. Are we are getting best thing, best food there. But you bought us, but we are going to die without food. Then they are grumbling against Moses and Aaron, especially against God, because they did not believe. Because they did not believe. They made themselves the golden calf to worship. You know these all stories. They have done these all things because they did not believe in Yahweh. They did not believe in God who can save them, who can lead them to the promised land. What they did, God has done. He judged them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 8 says, because of idol worship, 23,000 were died. He killed 23,000. Some of them were destroyed by serpents. They tested God. They tested God. God is very serious, brothers and sisters. Jude is reminding us to remember the mistakes of Israel so that we may not do same sin. So that we may not do same actions, grumbling and speaking against God, then not trusting in God in our life. This is warning. This is warning he gave. What are the ways that we manifest our doubt in Jesus as a Christian? Worries about our daily provisions, even though experiencing his blessings. You have everything. You got everything. But I need that one. Jesus did not give that one. I come to church, but I did not get nice chair. But nobody is respecting me. Nobody is looking at me. See, these are the grumblings. But we won't grumble for food because you are all, most of them, rich people. You have food. But you grumble in different area. We should not do. If you are grumbling, no, you are manifesting your unbelief in Christ. You are saying that Jesus is not sufficient. Then having idols in our hearts, we may not worship idol. We criticize, right? They are worshiping idols. They are making idols. We won't make idols. But you have idols in your heart. Greedy. Running after money. Then self-centered. Those are the sins. Are idols in our hearts. In our hearts. But we should take out those things. If you are trusting in the Lord, then doubting Jesus that he would not save us from our sins, he would not be able to take us to heaven. Some of you will doubt, right? Even though you are coming to church, you are listening word of God, but you doubt, is Jesus able to take me to heaven? This is also sin. This is also sin, brothers and sisters. This is unbelief. Those who doubt Jesus, he will destroy. I am not saying he has done already with Egyptian, with Israel. He did not leave them. He killed them. This is an example, historical judgment we should remember in our daily lives. Second historical judgment of the Lord that the church must remember is he kept the rebellious in eternal chains. He kept the rebellious in eternal chains. Verse 6 to 7, we can see this truth. Verse 6 to 7. Verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. See, Jesus, Lord, kept the rebellious in eternal chains. These are fallen angels. Those who are rebellious angels, those all are the followers of Lucifer. These are not all demons, just those disobedient in Genesis chapter 6. Lord did not keep every demons under darkness. But those who are disobedient in Genesis chapter 6, he kept them. He kept them in chains. Here Jude explains the Lord used the instrument to keep, that is, chains, eternal bonds. They won't come out of it. They won't come out of it. Here Jude explains, gives reasons why did the Lord keep angels by eternal bonds. Four reasons why the Lord kept them in eternal chains. First reason why the Lord kept them in eternal chains is they left their position of influence. They left their position of influence. Verse 6, part A says, who did not keep their own domain. Meaning of this phrase is the sphere, the position of one's official activity, the rule, office, the sphere of influence, we can say. So here Jude is saying that many angels did not keep themselves domain. They did not keep themselves in the position of authority, the position of influence, because these angels had been entrusted by God with position of authority. We know Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? They worship God, brothers and sisters. They serve his people. They are watching the sanctification of the church. We are told that they are spiritual spectators. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, if you read. They are in the position of influence, human beings, but they left their authority. Instead of doing good things, they misused their authority. They misused their authority. Second reason why the Lord kept them in eternal chain is they left their heavenly place. Verse 6 says, but abandoned their proper abode. Abandoned their proper abode. Jude says that the angels did not keep their authority, but they abandoned their abode. They have done a contrast thing, but they abandoned their proper abode. That means they left their own place, dwelling, residence. They left their heavenly place. They were being a heavenly being, sees the Lord 24 hours. They have the privilege to worship Lord day and night, ever. But they left that position. They left heavenly place, dwelling place. Because of Lucifer, their leader. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12 says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. These angels, some of them followed Lucifer against God. They fought against God. Revelation chapter 12 verse 4 says, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. This is the Satan's virginal rebellious. Through him, one third of the angelic host joined in his rebellious things. They fought against God. They followed Satan. Because they want to be equal with God. They desire that they will ascend above the highest of the clouds. They want to be equal with God. Most high. They want to be most high. That is the sin, right? Even Adam and Eve were in the presence of God. They were sinless, brothers and sisters. They were in the presence of God. So what is the temptation they had? Chapter 3 verse 5, Genesis. Satan said to Eve, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. See temptation? You will be like God. Then I will become God if I eat that one. Then she gave to her husband. He is also ate because we will become like God. Like same, this Satan, he wants to become God and he wants his people, God's people, to corrupt them so that they may think equal with God. That is the sin, right? What is the sin? We want to be a God. We should want equal with God. We won't submit to God. We won't obey his commandments. We can understand. See, these people, these angels have privilege, but they left their heavenly place. Let me tell you, one person has a big bungalow. He has everything in that home. But you see that person at night. He is sleeping on the platform. What you will think? Is he mad? He have nice bungalow. He has building, luxury life. But he left that one. He is sleeping on floor, in street. Angels has done like this. They have that privilege. Their place is in heaven. But they left. They are sleeping on the floor, on platform. They lose their heavenly place because of their rebellious people, their rebellious beings who has done against God all things. Brothers and sisters, this is temptation of all world, right? To want to be God. I want to do whatever I want. I won't listen God. This is the sin we do. But as a Christians, we must influence all. We must do the good things, not like these angels. Third reason why the Lord kept them in eternal chains is they loved immorality. They loved immorality. Verse 7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality. The right translation, we can say that it says, since they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire in a way similar to these angels. That means Sodom and Gomorrah, they followed angels. So angels, fallen angels, were immoral people. They loved immorality. Genesis chapter 6 verse 2, we can understand that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. These angels, sons of God means angels, demons, they possessed human beings. They gave birth to children. Because they are immoral, they loved immorality. We can say that they can't produce, they are not able to produce children because they don't have human body. What they have done, they possessed male bodies, then they gave birth. That's happened in Genesis chapter 6. These fallen angels went after strange bodies. They loved immorality, which God hates. Fourth reason why the Lord kept them in eternal chains is they must be judged in the great day. They must be judged in the great day. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Jude says that the Lord has kept angels for the great judgment day. He will not leave them until the day of the Lord. The reason keeping them by eternal chains, because the Lord has decided to judge them in the great day. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. The rebellious angels are destined for the judgment. The Lord is going to judge them that final day, unless, until the Lord kept them in Hades. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 says, And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we have to understand, if the Lord destroys these demons, it is very easy to destroy false teachers. He has the power, he is the sovereign who can judge, who can destroy even demons. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful that we should not be rebellious against God and His Son. We must influence others, not do wrong things, evil things to others. As the 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 says, For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, committed them to pits of darkness, reserved for judgment. So you must remember that God will judge all false teachers. They will cry day and night, they will cry. You remember. Don't forget, the Lord has judged even angels. Third historical judgment of the Lord that the church must remember is He exhibited sinners as an example of His wrath. He exhibited sinners as an example of His wrath. Verse 7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited an example in undergoing punishment of eternal life. Jude says, God, the Lord, exhibited an example of His wrath, that is, the sinners, Sodom and Gomorrah. Exhibition means what? A collection of things, goods, works, for the public display. So here, Lord displayed, manifested, exhibited an example. I am going to judge the sinners. I am going to judge. I judged. So everyone who hears this message, who knows Sodom and Gomorrah, that is example, I am going to judge. That is the signal. It should be very serious, brothers and sisters. Jesus used illustration to warn His people, Jewish people. Matthew chapter 11 verse 23, He says, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Jesus used that example to prophesy judgment of Capernaum, sinful people. Jude not only mentioned God's judgment here, He also tells why God judged the cities. Clearly He mentioned two reasons why the Lord judged the sinful. First reason why the Lord judged sinful is they are fornicators. They are fornicators. Verse 7 says, these indulged in gross immorality. The meaning of indulged in gross immorality is give oneself over to fornication. To lead into fornication. This is talking about sexual sin. To be unfaithful. To play the harlot. It may be used of the prostitute, married woman who proves unfaithful. Married man who proves unfaithful to his wife. This is fornication. They are fornicators. Sodom and Gomorrah, all surrounded cities are fornicators. Men and women in these cities were unfaithful to their husband and wives. They gave themselves to the fornication. The scripture is clearly telling that they indulged in their immoral sexual sins. By God's will is, He is seeking sanctification in the church, brothers and sisters. This was not true only in those days. It is true in these days. We must be careful, brothers and sisters, about this sin. It will hurt you. It will hurt your family members, your children. Can I tell you clearly? In villages, no. If someone do like this action, no one will marry their children. If parent is like that, children will like this only. They think like that. It will hurt whole family members, this sin. It will hurt this church. We are worshipping God. But one does this sin, no? It will hurt whole church. It will hurt society. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15 says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. May it never be. Then he says, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 2, he says, Paul says, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. To overcome this sin, be faithful to your husband and wife. If Pastor Sammy preached this, he can explain very clearly. I'm trying my best. You should be faithful to your wife. You should be faithful to your husband. If you are not faithful to your husband and wife, you are doing sin. See, God judged those people. Be careful. Here, Jude is explaining that, remember, they were fornicators. God has judged them. He will judge you. If you are playing these all these things, is knife is good or bad? Knife is good or bad? Good. We can cut vegetable. We can make some food for our family members. But sometimes it is bad when you kill somebody else. When you use that instrument to kill somebody else. Having relationship with your wife, having relationship with your husband is good. That is holy. But you should not misuse that instrument. That is the thing we should remember. If you are doing no continuously, God is going to judge you, brothers and sisters. Humbly I am saying, he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Second reason why the Lord judged the sinful is they practice homosexuality. They practice homosexuality. Verse 7 says that just as Sodom, Gomorrah and cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality, went after strange flesh. Going after other flesh, went after a strange flesh. That means Sodom and Gomorrah was seeking to have sex with flesh other than the flesh of women. Generally, God made that system, but these people went after other flesh. That means they want men to have sex. Do you remember Genesis chapter 19? We can clearly understand. Genesis chapter 19 verse 4 says, Genesis chapter 19 verse 4 says, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot, said to him, where are the men who came to you night? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. These people asking, where are the men? We want to have relationship with them. They are fornicators. Those people are unfaithful to their wives. They are unfaithful to their husbands. Not only that, they want men. Bring them out. Then this Lot know, please my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters. Those are virgin. I will give to you. But these people know, young, even teenagers, old people, middle-aged people, everyone is trying to do this sin. Brothers and sisters, God judges. God hates these sins. Romans chapter 1 verse 1, chapter 1 verse 27 says, and in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and the burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. God poured out his wrath upon these people, brothers and sisters. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 6 says, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. He made them example. He is going to judge these kind of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. They won't go to heaven. Brothers and sisters, God condemned LGBTQ. You know those observations? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, last one, questionable. I don't know who I am. Some people say like that. I don't know who I am. These are the sins. God hates these sins, brothers and sisters. We must respect God-given marriage. We must follow the rule of God, not our rule, not government rule. Even in India High Supreme Court declared that the homosexual, that is legal. Is it right according to Bible? No. We should hate, we should avoid those things, even though they are government, because they are speaking against God. Brothers and sisters, but there is a grace in that. God will forgive them. God is so gracious that even he saves them from their sins. Don't think that he will judge, but he will give grace for those people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11 says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Even Corinthians, some of the Corinthians were like that, but God saved them from that. Don't think that he will judge. He is giving opportunity to save them, to forgive them. Brothers and sisters, we should be careful about our life. Just I am going to conclude. We have seen three historical judgments of the Lord. He destroyed unbelievers. He kept the rebellious in eternal chains. Then he exhibited an example of his wrath. A.W. Pink, he said, the wrath of God is a perfect of the divine character on which we need to meditate frequently. First, to beget a true fear in our souls for God. We cannot serve him acceptably unless there is a due reverence for his awful majesty. Unless there is a godly fear of his righteous anger. Second, to draw out our souls in praise to Jesus for having delivered us from the wrath of God. The Lord Jesus delivered us. He saved us from the wrath of God. So we should worship. Whenever we are meditating his wrath, his judgment, first thing, we must be fear. We must have reverence towards God. Second thing, we must worship God because he saved us in his Son. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, help us to follow Christ in our lives. Lord, you are the judge, righteous judge. Lord, help us to humble ourselves, follow you, follow your word. Not following our own things, selfishness, Lord. Lord, bless this church. Purify this church through your word, Lord. Lord, help us each and every one of us, Lord, to live holy life for your glory. Lord, help us to remember your great salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us to worship Him alone, Lord, who saved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.